we start hour number two by talking some NBA. We are joined right now by the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. He is entering his 12th season in that capacity. He's an NBA champion, is both a player and a coach. He was the NBA Coach of the Year in 2002. He is third among active coaches in wins. Of course, I'm speaking of Rick Carlisle. Rick, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Jim, it's been too long. Great to be back in the jungle.
It has been too long. Great to have you back, Rick. Now, before we get into the work and your offseason, last month you were at a Basketball Without Borders camp in Latvia. Let me start right there. What was that experience like for you?
Well, it was great because I spent 2 days in a town called Liepāja, which is a coastal town on the Baltic Sea where Kristaps Porzingis is from. And we spent 2 days there. I was observing and talking to kids at his camp. He's got a camp for 13, 14, and 15-year-old kids that are learning the game, trying to get off to a good start, et cetera. And then from there, we went up to Riga and went to Basketball Without Borders and had a great experience with the NBA up there. Riga is a fantastic town. The weather was great. It was like being in San Diego, Jim.
That's cool. Now, the NBA, Rick, obviously is focused on growing the game internationally and has been for quite some time. As somebody who's been around the league as long as you have, what's it like for you to see the growth of the game overseas?
Well, it's amazing. And, you know, the impact that we have abroad is obviously massive. But the impact that the international game has had on our game has been massive, too. You know, 20 years ago, the European leagues, all the international leagues, they were getting ahead of us in skill development, and a lot of those kinds of things. And, you know, 20 years ago, I was an assistant in Portland when Arvydas Sabonis came over. A little longer than that ago, I was an assistant in New Jersey when Drazen Petrovic joined us for a couple of years. And so, you know, I've seen firsthand the influx of some of their great, the all-time great European players and what that has meant to our league. And those guys had tremendous impact. Of course, you know, Petrovic's story is tragic as he was killed in a car accident, you know, 2 years into his career. But the other thing I can tell you is that we were in China this past fall for two exhibition games, and the interest in the NBA in China is almost impossible to believe. We were in Shanghai and Shenzhen, and you know, the crowds of people, the masses of people, and the interest in the NBA, it was just off the charts.
Rick Carlisle joins us. You know, Rick, you mentioned Drazen Petrovic, and his passing was so sad. He was beloved. Can you remember what was it like? What went through your mind the first time you saw him play, and what was it like to be around him?
Well, the first time I saw him play, he was a role player, bench player with the Portland Trailblazers. And, you know, they were still on that run of the late 80s, early 90s of getting to a couple of finals and stuff like that. And he wasn't playing very much. And so, you know, we were able to acquire him in a multi-team trade when I was with the Nets. And we were in a rebuild at that time when I was an assistant. He immediately became a starter for us. And his first year, his numbers bumped up significantly because he was playing more, and you know, we didn't have much scoring, so we were running the ball through his hands a lot. And then the second year, he was even better, and he was third team All NBA before the tragic accident happened. So, you know, his career trajectory was headed toward becoming an NBA All Star, and you know. Yeah, he was already one of the all-time great European players and European, I should say, slash international players. But, you know, his future at that point in time looked limitless.
Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle joining us. I appreciate your thoughts on him. Now, Rick, one of the absolute icons of international basketball is somebody you, of course, know very well. I'm speaking of Dirk, a guy so legendary, he only needs one name. This coming season is going to be your first without him. What's it going to be like to coach without Dirk there?
Well, Jim, it's a very good question. He has been such a consistent force just day to day, always in early, always doing everything from a professional standpoint to prepare himself to practice, to play, everything else. I mean, you know, I was real fortunate. I got to coach Reggie Miller, both in his prime and at the end of his career, and Dirk. And you know, it's been 11 straight years I've been with Dirk. And, you know, when a franchise player leaves a franchise, as Reggie did in 2005 and Dirk's doing now, you know, you're not exactly sure how it's going to affect things. You know, the year Reggie retired, we were headed into a year where there was great expectation in Indiana. And then, you know, things just kind of short-circuited, and it just didn't go the way everybody had hoped it would. And a lot of it, I felt, was because of the loss of that consistency on a day-to-day basis with a guy like Reggie. And so now, you know, we've got the same situation with Dirk. I'm older and wiser, haven't been through that. We're preparing ourselves for, you know, life without Dirk and what that means. And we're really working hard to prepare our younger guys to become the same kind of leaders that he was. But it's a very big task and a very big responsibility. And, you know, those things don't happen overnight.
No, that's an enormous task and responsibility and a big ask of the young guys. Rick Carlisle joining us. Rick, in terms of the young guys, we're now just a year removed from the team making that move to draft Luka Doncic, and you're not going to make that move without having high expectations. You know, I'm curious, the transition to the NBA, whether it's from college or the international game, is always
unique. You know, he's been a professional player since age 15 or 16, and, you know, he'd been around guys that were crafty, veteran, you know, great international players. He'd learned a lot of the tricks of the trade. And as time went on, he played more and more and more, which culminated, you know, in the spring of 18. He was the best player on his team that won, you know, I think they won the Euro League, and they won two of the European championships. And he was MVP of both leagues and both championships. And so at that point in time, you know, for a kid that age, he had achieved more than anybody had ever achieved at that age in Europe. You know, more than Ginobili, more than Petrovic, you know, any of these guys, just in terms of, you know, being decorated. You know, and that experience really helped him because, you know, he was a professional player when he walked in the door. He had that experience. And not only had he just been a pro for 4 or 5 years, you know, he had played in a lot of really important national team games. You know, the Slovenia in 2017 won the Eurobasket. You know, it was a huge upset, you know, and he and Dragic were the key guys on that team. And those games, Jim, I mean, it, you know, are so pressure-packed with so much national pride on the line and everything else. You know, the kids in the United States, many of them don't have the opportunity to have those kinds of experiences. And you go from that, you know, to what he did in 18 and then, you know, right onto our roster. He was more prepared than most.
Talking to Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle, and then now you've got a possibility to recompare him with Porzingis. And you mentioned, Rick, Porzingis a few moments ago. He's recovering from that ACL injury, so you haven't had the chance to play him in games yet, and I know you're getting to know him. What's that process been like for you, and how's he looked to you physically?
Well, the process has been great. You know, I got to know him a little bit a couple of summers ago at one of the camps that he and I were both at. At that time, he had asked, you know, about the possibility of getting together with Dirk to work out or, you know, spend some time with him and stuff. And I think this was after his second year in New York. And they had tried to get together, you know, previously to that time. And so, you know, I talked to Dirk about it, and they could never quite get it together, but he always was a guy that had tremendous respect for Dirk. So I got to know him a little bit then, and then, you know, after the trade, that little bit of familiarity that we had was very helpful. You know, at that point, mid-February, Jim, you know, he was very much on his way to a full recovery. in terms of where he was with the knee and his body and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, the last 3 weeks of the season, he was participating in live 5-on-5 scrimmages and practices. It had been decided before he was traded us that he was not going to play in any games this year. And so, you know, things look great. You know, he's a kid that's, even though he's only 23 years old, he's been a professional, much like Luka. He's been in a tough media market in New York. I think he's going to be very motivated to try to win some games with us.
Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle joining us back in the jungle for a few more moments. Now, Rick, I had your former assistant Terry Stotts on the program yesterday, and I routinely talk to another one of your assistants from that 2011 team, Dwayne Casey. How much pride do you take in the success that they've had as head coaches after their time with you in Dallas?
Well, it's one of the greatest things, you know, if you can be in this business, help guys get head jobs, and then see them have that kind of success. You know, a lot of teams passed on Dwayne Casey for a long time. And then, you know, the Toronto Raptors, you know, after we won the championship in 2011, you know, that night in Miami, about 5 minutes after the game, I picked up my cell phone. I called Brian Colangelo in Toronto. They were in the midst of a coaching search. I said, "Brian, I got your guy here." And so, you know, and within about 2 weeks, he had gone through the process and he had become the Raptors coach. And then, you know, he oversaw that rebuild for a great portion of it, had a lot of success over 7 years, and then went on to Detroit and got another big deal. So that was great. And then what Terry's done in Portland, Jim, has been, you know, just amazing. You know, he took a job in the summer of 2012 that nobody wanted. There were a couple of veteran coaches that just flat out turned it down without even, you know, without even interviewing. They just didn't think the team was that good, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that was the summer when Lillard got drafted. And so Stotts has taken Lillard and then McConnell and some of these other guys and molded these guys into, you know, a true contending team. He just got an extension, so he'll be there for another 3 years, 3 or 4 years at least. That'll take him over 10 years. And, you know, and those two guys, not coincidentally, had great impact on our 2011 championship team. So a lot of pride there for sure.
Rick Carlisle, my guest. Rick, before I let you go, one more guy I've got to ask you about. No way we run down a list of guys that have been with you and are now head coaches without talking about Jerry Stackhouse. Stack's always been one of my favorites. Now, this is a guy who did really well for himself financially during his time as a player. He doesn't need to work. What's it say about him, then, that he wanted to grind it out as an assistant and a coach in the G League in order to become a head coach? And then how do you think he'll do at Vanderbilt?
Well, he'll do great. You know, he's a guy, you know, Jim, who has an iron will. And, you know, interesting that, you know, he interviewed for a couple of NBA head jobs. It you know, the process wasn't going along as quickly as he had hoped. And so he just pivoted. He had a relationship with Malcolm Turner, who had taken over at Vanderbilt, and decided to go get some head coaching experience there. And, you know, Stack, he's a man who is strong-willed. He sees things the way he sees them. And I have great respect for the fact that he decided to jump into the best situation where he could become a head coach the soonest, because in our profession, Jim, you learn the most by being a head coach, by being the guy that has responsibility for everything, for the players, for your staff, for dealing with ownership or your athletic director, you know, your marketing people, your PR people, your sports information director, whatever it is. He'll grow tremendously there, and, you know, I expect he's going to be an NBA head coach at some point.
He was an NBA champion as a player and a head coach, third among active coaches in wins. Rick, you said it best. It had been far too long since I had you in the jungle, but great to run you down. I really appreciate you and that conversation, as always. Rick, thank you so much. That was great.
Okay, Jim, take care.
Have a great day, Rick. Really nice to talk to you. Rick Carlisle, Dallas Mavericks head coach. And as mentioned, he's always been really good to this program. And then he's got guys who've come through his system that have been really good to the program, like Terry Stotts, like Dwayne Casey. Stack has always been good to the jungle. Great to have them on.